O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Everybody called her the Magdalene, but that wasn't her name. That was just where she's from a town called Magdala. Everybody calling her the Magdalene, it's like you had sat down, introduced yourself on the first day of class, saying that you had grown up in a suburb of Dallas, and from that moment on, everybody called you Tex. Everybody called her the Magdalene, but that was not her name. Her name was Mary. And she had been a disciple of Jesus from the very beginning, and the Lord Jesus always called her by her name. She was there from the beginning, listening to that voice that she knew like the sound of many waters, there for the healings, when the Lord Jesus would stop a huge crowd of people that were following him, to stop them all so that he could attend to one sick and suffering person on the roadside. She had been there for the good and holy troublemaking, when the Lord Jesus would stand up for one ostracized person, even if that got him on the wrong side of the powerful. She had been there for the teachings, for those beautiful words of truth when Jesus would speak to a huge crowd, to hundreds, thousands even, and yet that voice, like many waters, it was as if he was speaking just to you. I am the good shepherd, the Lord said. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name, and they know his voice, and he leads them out. The Lord always called her Mary. She was there at the beginning, and so it is only fitting that she would be there at the end. That good and holy troublemaking, it caught up with Jesus, and the Romans hung him on a cross to die, and it was the one everybody called the Magdalene who stayed at the foot of the cross, along with Jesus' own mother and just one other disciple. Those many thousands hanging on his every word became just three, one of whom was his mother. It's no surprise, then, that the one everybody called the Magdalene was the first to come to the tomb. She was there to mourn. But when she got there, the tomb was open, unsealed, the body gone. And there were these two figures, these two men who were sitting in the tomb, sitting on the slab where Jesus' body had been laid. What were they doing there? When she had arrived, it was still dark. So what had these men been doing in an open tomb in the middle of the night, if not to steal his body away? It was not enough that they should kill her Lord on a cross. They had to steal their grief too, not even allow them to mourn in dignity. The tears were hot on her face, weeping outside the tomb. And these two, whoever they were, they asked, "Why are you weeping?" Why was she weeping? This is a freshly desecrated grave. And these two people, who are probably the grave robbers, they dare to ask her, "Why are you weeping?" Has the ring of a schoolyard bully who has knocked someone down, bloodied their nose, and then standing over them in the blood and the dirt calls out, "Why are you crying?" She found her voice. "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Then another voice came, this time from behind her, someone she hadn't known was there, and this voice says, "Why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" She spun on her heels, and through the red mist of anger and that veil of tears, she saw someone, her eyes swimming in tears. She couldn't make it out, probably the gardener who these men must have bribed. Tears hot in her eyes, temper hot in her throat, she spat out the words, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him." gospel hinges on one moment. The good news is proclaimed with one word. Mary. There was only one person who called her that. Everybody else called her the Magdalene. It was a voice like many waters, a voice she knew. Mary. The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name. They will know his voice and he will lead them out. Mary. With one word, death to life, deep night to bright dawn, despair to hope, the tomb empty, but not because the body had been stolen away, but that death had been defeated, resurrection, ascendant, the whole gospel in one word, Mary. It's wonderful and all. Don't get me wrong. It's wonderful. But what on earth was Jesus doing? Asking Mary, why are you weeping? Why is he asking her this question? It would be pretty obvious to anybody who was aware of the context what was going on. It would be pretty obvious to anyone who was aware of the context. And do you know who was definitely aware of the context? Jesus! Jesus knew full well why Mary was weeping. So why does he ask? Why this question there at the tomb? He asks because it matters that Mary is able to say out loud the depth of her grief, that his body had been stolen away. Jesus asks because her heartbreak matters to him to say it aloud. She shares her worst grief. And Jesus leads her out of that grief, calling her by her name. Easter morning would not have been complete, not without Mary's honest tears of grief. If her grief had not been so awful, what would the resurrection have meant for her? Beloved, why are you weeping? Because your job is gone and you don't know who that makes you anymore. Beloved, why are you weeping? Because your loved one has died, has crossed over that veil of tears, and now you cannot see anything through that haze. Beloved, why are you weeping? Because the empty liquor bottles and empty pill bottles are stacking up and you cannot stop and you have tried to stop. Beloved, why are you weeping? Because you wake up in a country where you have fewer rights than when you were a child. That this country would see you dead not for holy and good troublemaking, but simply for who you are. Beloved, why are you weeping? It is not only me who asks. It is the voice of the Lord that asks this question at the tomb. Why are you weeping? God already knows. It is not for the edification of the all-knowing that the Lord asks. It is because your heartbreak, your grief, it matters to God. In the quiet places of your heart before the Lord alone, tell the all-knowing, the all-loving one, tell him your worst fears. Give her your worst griefs. Give them all of your heart. Easter is not complete without your honesty, your grief. If the power of death were not so awful, if the powers and principalities of the world were not so mighty, what would it matter that Christ had arisen? The good shepherd will hold you in your grief. The good shepherd will lead you out to good pastures, and on a day I pray is long from now, the good shepherd will be the one who calls you from the grave, that place that he has passed through before, And in the very depths of your grief, even in the depths of the grave, from such great depths, you will hear a voice still calling you. It will be a voice you have always known, a voice like the sound of many waters, the voice of the Good Shepherd, who will lead you out, who will call you by your name. Thanks be to God.